Okay, we're going to continue over in Galatians. And, chapter 5. Paul was dealing with the issues in Galatia. False teachers had come in, added to the gospel, said, you must do this, you must do that, in order to be saved. Salvation is all of grace, it's all of God. But we must beware, once we understand that, that being saved all of grace and all of God does not mean that we're free to sin, free to live however our flesh might desire. And Paul warns against that, and he begins by warning against the lusts of the flesh. Yes, a Christian's all saved by grace. He cannot add to his salvation. He cannot keep himself saved. But those that are his are saints. They should be manifested in their lives. And they should avoid all these lusts of the flesh, these works of the flesh that we see. And then, on the other hand, we ought, by the grace of God, to seek to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit implants these things and brings these things forth, but we, again, we have to work. We have a struggle. It's not really in doubt, but it may seem like it. And Paul began in verse 22 to speak of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. And we've been speaking about the meekness and the opposite of pride. The next thing Paul mentions here is temperance. It's a very broad term. It can apply to a lot of things. And we'll talk about it this week and probably at least next week. Temperance is essentially a matter of self-control. You know, we've got all these governments. I think about the federal government. I look at even imperfect document it was, what the Constitution said the job of the federal government is, and what the federal government does now. I'll tell you what kind of light bulb you have, what kind of toilet you have. Where does that come from? It's a lack, generally, of self-control in many ways. You know, folks seek control from the government and from other things. The government seeks to impose those things. Well, the government can't do a job of that either, obviously. Things wax worse and worse. But temperance for the Christian is the matter of self-control. And truly, it's control of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. I mentioned that word last week. It's sometimes spoken of as continence. And that word speaks of control, particularly of self-control. And again, we are more familiar, perhaps, with its opposite, incontinence. And we think of that mainly of bladders today. But oftentimes in the past, that word incontinence was also applied to those who could not control their bodily lusts, the desires of the flesh. And for some reason in particular, it was applied to men. Someone who was incontinent was a man who could not or would not control himself in the realm of sexual desires. Brother, this is a battle that's been going on and continues to go on. The ability to restrain, the ability to control. Continence was defined as forbearance even of lawful pleasures. You know, not just the unlawful ones, but the things that don't edify, the things that don't strengthen. And we ought to seek as Christians, we ought not want to be brought under the control or the power of something, be it specifically sinful or not. be controlled by our desires, our lusts, our wishes, and boy, you can apply that to abundance of things. The inability to control is never a good thing. And how often you hear people say, well, I couldn't help myself. And I heard somebody say something, even this week after I think I touched on this, as an introduction last bit, it's like, well, I couldn't help myself, you know. Sometimes guys do that when they go to the gun store, right? And I couldn't help myself. It was there and it was calling my name. And lack of control is not a good thing. Admitting that you can't help yourself is not a good thing. And unless we're admitting it to the Holy Spirit, which we need to. And we think about saying that even, you know, I couldn't help myself, I couldn't control myself. And what's that say about you? Paul wrote to young Timothy, pastor at the church at Ephesus, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. Familiar passage to us in many ways. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce bearers, false accusers, and I could dwell on all those things, but he does go on specifically to say incontinent. Lacking control, lacking self-control, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And many of these could fit in the broader category of temperance as well. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. We ought not to want to fellowship that kind of thing. And again, you need to beware of being a Pharisee. We're not any better than anybody else. Whatever we are by the grace of God. But we ought to seek to live separate and holy lives, temperate lives, lives that are in control. And it has a lot of bearing on the folks that we associate with and that we're close with. Lovers of their own self, it says. You know, that's not a good thing. That's what they promote today. You know, you're supposed to love yourself. You're supposed to embrace yourself. But what is that all about? Paul says, from such, turn away. Again, we get back to the need of separation. I think more and more in this day and age, we need to seek to be separate, to be apart, to be different. Jude wrote in the 18th verse of his one chapter book, says, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. That's what incontinence is. That's what the opposite of temperance is. Those who walk after their own godly lusts. When I was a teenager, I don't know exactly when it came on the scene or where it came from, but they would say, if it feels good, do it. I don't know if they still say that, but it was like, if it feels good, do it. I think they still say foolish things like, follow your heart. Just follow your heart. You better read what the Scripture says about your heart. It's deceitfully wicked. Now follow the book. Follow the Lord. Follow the Holy Spirit. Those who cannot and will not control themselves, Paul wrote to Timothy and Jude mentions, are emblematic of the last times. They are wicked men And I, again, this week, just one, I just think about, I look at the forces that we oppose, and they're evil. They're wicked. I mean, how can you compromise with such folks? How can you negotiate with? You really can't. You can't. They're determined to have their own ways. They cannot, they will not control themselves. They're determined to have their way. It's overt and out of control we see today. And the most obvious manifestation of it is to the sexuality of our day. I mean, all sorts of perverse, but the sexuality in opposition to God's establishment of marriage, a man and a woman, one man, one woman for one lifetime. Anything else is sin. A lot of fornicators and adulterers in Babylon on the Potomac that, you know, that want to take a stand against the LGBTQ movement. Well, you need to clean up your own house first. Not that we all don't have needs. But really, some of these folks are just open in these things. And yet, good conservatives, they stand against this or against that. It's out of control. Sometimes I think we're a little better than animals. God ordained these things between a man and a woman. Not only for procreation, and we talk about that sometimes, but it is for pleasure between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. But we've become a little better than animals. And then I thought about that. I wrote that down. I said, no, we've become worse than animals. You know, animals don't try to mutilate themselves into something that they're not. They don't try to promote mental illness as a normality. And somebody, I read reading something today, I can't remember who it was, but that just talked about, one of the presidential contenders, and I'm not advocating anybody. In fact, I know he's not even a Christian, but he talked about these kids that want to mutilate themselves. You know, they are mentally ill. Well, they are. And up until recent years, even our unholy society recognized that. Even what was called science recognized that. And then, of course, it applies not only in the realm of the physical and the sexual, but you can apply it to drugs, alcohol, any other kind of addiction. Christians, on the other hand, are called upon to display temperance, to display self-control. And properly understood, it's spirit control. We can't do it, but He can. In 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote to the saints in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And Paul's speaking of expedient things here. He's not, you know, speaking of murder and whatever, and that's totally taken out of context. But things that are not specifically prohibited, they're lawful to me. But the question really shouldn't be, you know, can I do this or that? He's like, well, preacher, can I do that? Or preacher, is this too short? Or preacher, is my hair too long? Or it's not, shouldn't be, you know, what can I do, but what should I do? Paul says all things are lawful unto me. But all things are not expedient. They don't edify. They're not for the good. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You know, if we're so controlled by something external to us that we no longer have control. Paul says meats for the belly and belly for the meats. You know, God made these things. I see a lot of inexpedient things when it comes to meats anymore. And meats speaks of food, you know. People, it's incredible. And I'm sorry. Diane thinks I got something about that, about, you know, people who overeat and are obese and whatever. But, you know, they demonstrate, it's there. You can see, it's like a billboard saying, I have no self-control. And I can't, these people, I can't imagine how they. And I don't endorse any of them, but I see somebody like Christie up there that, you know, wants to be president. He can't even control what he eats. But he wants to control the country. Or your representative. She may be a fine person, and she may be a better person than me. She probably is. But you realize you should think about these things. You know, you're saying to the whole world, I don't have temperance. I can't control myself. But I want to rule you. I want you to vote for me to be in a position to control you. And maybe I'm getting off on things, but I think they have application. All things are lawful unto me, but I'll not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, belly for the meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. I don't know how more specific people will try to justify everything today. And these things are embraced and accepted in churches today. You know? People who are openly involved in fornication. And that's a lack of self-control. And I think, again, when I was a kid, oh, I'm sure stuff went on. It always has. Men has always been a fallen creature. But when I was a kid, if a school teacher was living in open fornication, she'd be gone. They wouldn't have that before the kids. That would not be acceptable. Public schools. A police officer. That would not be acceptable. He would be disciplined. And it would have been a he. And he would have been offered a force. Today, these things are acceptable at schools, police forces, politics, churches. You know? And again, I feel for people, and we ought to seek to meet their needs. But, you know, I've seen churches that, you know, throw big baby showers for girls who are having a child out of wedlock. Maybe even, you know, have her baby daddy there. I don't know. These things ought not be. There used to be stigmas. And again, we should love them as a person, seek to meet their needs. But we ought not to embrace intemperance, lack of self-control, incontinence. And further on in this same book, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23, Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Oh, it may be permitted. And I'm not talking about fornication. Paul's talking about things that are like meats for the belly. But they don't edify. They're not for your good. They're not the good for your testimony. They're not for the good of others. Edify, that word, of course, means build up like an edifice. They don't all build up. And Paul here, writing to the saints in Corinth, gives an excellent description of temperance. I will not be brought under the power of any. And again, the question should not be, can I as a Christian do this, but rather, should I as a Christian do this? And then it should be understood that we have to turn to the Spirit for power, for strength, to endure, to do what we ought. Webster, the old Webster, said concerning temperance, fit or suitable for the purpose, proper under the circumstances. We don't use that term proper a lot anymore either. I guess you can talk about proper fit of clothes or something, but we don't talk about proper behavior or proper life. You know, does this thing bring me under its power? Does this thing bring me under its control? And generally, again, if you have to ask, you already know the answer. I mean, you got to ask if it's okay to do this. Well, then you already know you probably shouldn't. But you say, well, it might be lawful. Yeah, it might be. But you still probably shouldn't. And I understand there may be variance there between folks. Listen, your conscience is not a perfect guide. I don't just say just follow your conscience. But I will tell you this, and Paul talks about it as well. You better be careful about not violating your own conscience. That's you start letting the floodgates down. You know, if you think you ought not to do it, then you better not do it. I don't know, haven't through the years always followed that, but that would have been a pretty good guide. And consciences that are formed and conformed to the Scriptures, you know, are the more important. But still, it's never a good thing to violate your own conscience. You know, is it okay to do that? Is this too short? Is my hair too long? Is this clothing immodest? You already know. And temperance is the ability to moderate. Temperance is the ability to control our appetites, to control our emotions, to control our attitudes. I try to control myself, my emotions. I try to control those. I try not to fly off the handle. Now, there are circumstances in some situations where, and I don't know if it's right or wrong. I really wasn't mad, but you fly, you know. I think of military situations sometimes, you know. Or the things Benny Washington said he was going to do to me. He didn't really mean that, but I thought he did. But we should be in control of ourselves. What's dangerous is if somebody, you know, presents that in the right circumstance, and I don't know, I'm going to put the fear of God in somebody, as we would say. But if you're really out of control, that's dangerous. We ought to be able to control ourselves. I don't know where that came from. But anyway. Temperance is the ability to moderate, to control our appetites, our emotions, our attitudes. It is the capacity, by the grace of God, to resist sin. You know, well, there's sin. I'm gone. You know, I was tempted. It's the ability to turn down opportunities for the excess of good things. I mean, yeah. I think about that kid. I don't know anything about him and vulgarity in the song or whatever, but that kid, and I don't know where he'll end up, but he sang that song that's all been in the news everywhere about the rich men that are north of Richmond. He was offered a contract by the country music people, and maybe he's holding out for more. Who knows? But he said, no, I don't want that. Because I know that that will restrict me and change me. And if he was doing that for the right purposes, good on him. He said, I don't need that. I will moderate those things. I didn't sing that song in order to get a contract. And temperance is the ability to say no to things like that. To say no, you say, well, it was too good an opportunity. I had to take it. You know, some folks move their families to places that you wouldn't want to raise a family because the money was there. I couldn't refuse that. Well, yeah, you probably could have. People wouldn't have understood it, but you could have. And all of this fits into temperance and self-control. I can't give you all the details of it. You say, preacher, you're not good at that sometimes. Yeah, you're right. But by the grace of God, I want to identify those things and seek to be those things. And 1 Corinthians 9, beginning verse 24. And Paul applies some of these things, signs, to the athletic realm, here and elsewhere. You know, sometimes, at least in the realm of discipline and physical discipline, the athletes will put us to shame. Not so much today as it used to be, but used to be. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24, Paul says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run ye that ye may obtain. And how's that come about? He says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate, that word, in all things. The one who wants to win that race, the one who wants the mastery, is temperate, self-controlled. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Bigger contract, trophy, I don't know. In Paul's day, it just would have been some simple wreath. Not like our athletes of the day, but even then. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Put things in perspective. Now if we see the temperance over there in the realm of sports, and then say, well, where's the temperance in the realm of Christianity? Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep, here's temperance, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. The body, the Lord, is a gift of God, and it's a wonderful servant. It is a terrible master. Paul says, I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection. Lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be cast away. The body is a servant, it's not a master. And Paul speaks here, and I pick up, that's a bad place to finish off, because some folks try to go to that verse and talk about Paul losing his salvation. Well, that's not what he's talking about. You look at it, he's talking about service. Paul was concerned, and we all should be concerned, that we as Christians can so live our life that we become unuseful to the Lord, that we're cast away as a tool, as an instrument in his service. Paul was concerned that his life would be such. He would keep it under subjection. He would be temperate, lest he be cast away, lest he be set aside from usefulness. That would be a frightful thing. And that can happen. It should happen more. There's folks that seem not to be worried about that. They just think they should continue on. They've been involved in some great moral evil, something even condemned in the Word of God, something that even, according to the Scriptures, makes them unqualified for a pastoral office, and yet they think they can just continue on. God says, cast those away. He puts those aside. Some things in this life you can't fix. And you need to accept those things and seek to go on by the grace of God. Paul was concerned that he would live his life in a temperate fashion so that he wouldn't be set aside. And we should be concerned about that. Our testimony, our witness, the life we live before others. Some things you can't go back and fix. Like I said, you can't unscramble eggs. And we should seek to live with that thought in mind, because that's why we're here, to serve God. Anyway, I'll pick up there next week and we'll touch on that a little bit more and go on. By the grace of God, and we'll take our hymnals, turn to page number 213. O God, our help in ages past, number 213. If you like, you can stand as we sing this out. Oh, God, our help in ages past. Father, we thank you for this day, for each one that's here, the fellowship of the saints. Lord, for the reason we gather on this day, the all-sufficient and completed atonement of our Savior, manifested by his resurrection from the grave. And Lord, as we started this morning talking about being saints, sanctified, apart, different, Lord, it's all by your grace. It's not by our will and our strength. But Father, we pray that you might enable us to live lives that are tempered, lives that are self-disciplined, lives that are disciplined by the Spirit. Lord, that we might seek to keep under our bodies, to bring them into submission, that we might be used of thee. And Lord, as we realize that's why we're here. Father, thank you for your eternal love. Thank you, Lord, for our Savior. Pray, Lord, for those who need healing, for those who need comfort. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.